Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots, and welcome to episode 21-10 of Radio Free Redoubt. This is the Sunday evening podcast. Welcome to our live listeners for the live streaming. Hopefully, as long as it holds up, we're in the Pacific Northwest is enduring some major wind storms right now. Major for us. Certainly not hurricane force winds, but 30, 40 mile an hour winds with 50 mile an hour gusts, that still can remove roofing and tree limbs and all kinds of problems. So a little bit of flickering earlier this evening, late this afternoon, but so far it's holding steady. So we'll see how it goes. Anyway, I hope you all had a blessed week this week. Thank you guys for tuning in and listening to the morning commute with JJS and Lady Liberty, my wife, Lady Liberty, as you all know her, and I am John Jacob Schmidt. I am proud to be your host, and if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, then my name is your name too. We've got a lot of stuff to cover. Things are really accelerating. The communists who have taken operational control of the United States government are on track, they're on course, and they're right on time. With their purge, Stalin-like purge of any dissidents, and the hunt is on. They're getting ready to set things up to be able to hunt for more. We'll be talking about that. What's going on in our military is disgraceful. What's happening in the government of our government, our country, patriots, is horrible, absolutely just disgusting. To watch what's happening right now, knowing that the enemies within are gutting our country, our borders, and the enemies from without, the foreign enemies, are scheming and planning on how to chop and cut America up and divvy it up amongst themselves right now as they're becoming extremely aggressive, arrogant, and just outright flippant. I mean, you could tell that the respect and fear is gone for America. This is how China, they sneer at the United States, the delegates that this puppet regime has tried to send to them to negotiate, well, a fake negotiation on behalf of America. But It's sickening to watch all of this unfold. But several things in the news right off the bat. Just a little bit ago, National Park Service is reporting an active shooter at Everglades National Park. I'm thinking, what? See, this is what you have to endure when you have a communist as a president, your weekly active shooter. Doesn't it seem like that? Do you remember a weekly active shooter situation with President Trump or with President even President Bush in place, but we got the previous president who shall not be named, President 44, the one who occupied from occupy or indivisible. He indivisibled our White House. He occupied our White House. He Black Lives Mattered our. He Antifa'd our White House. What are the other adjectives we can think of? But that's a verb, actually. I made it into a verb. Desecrated the White House. So now we're back to communist occupation, and now we have all of these shootings. Oh, yeah, don't forget the Clinton regime back in the 90s, which brought in, Columbine and the other shootings. Oh, we got to get these off the streets. You guys can't have them anymore. Even though those of you who are law-abiding citizens who have never harmed anyone, never murdered anyone with yours, we still need to take yours anyway. As long as we, of course, the liberals, whether you're in Hollywood, whether you are a politician, you make sure you have your guns. You're surrounded by guns to provide your safety. But anyway, enough of that rant. All right. Boy, what do we got here? The Biden regime is looking to launch a COVID passport that would track Americans who have taken vaccines. Of course, we've got doctors stepping forward saying this does not give you immunity from COVID. Meanwhile, at the same time, you've got universities that are saying, well, you can't come back here in person until you have this vaccine. The scam for the scamdemic, the scam that never was a pandemic. If anything, it was a biological attack on the United States. And we've got business people, representatives coming from Wuhan, China, showing up at a meat plant where after he leaves, comes to the United States to visit one of their Chinese-owned meat plants. He leaves and, 80 employees come down with COVID right after he leaves? Is intentionally brought in. This is not. They took a flu. They tried to turn it into a pandemic. It was a biological attack. Really, if anything else, but something. Hey, something that jumped at me in the news. I saw Soros. This is from Zero Hedge. Tyler Durden picked up on this. Soros Asset Management is betting big on crypto infrastructure. During an interview with Bloomberg TV, Soros Asset Management CIO Dawn Fitzpatrick, one of the most powerful women in the asset management industry, said her firm is betting on crypto for the long term. Isn't that interesting that also how the World Economic Forum is talking about this great reset and this cyber attack that's coming and how it would affect our entire financial industry, everything, telecommunications, transportation, logistics, currency, banking, the potential for entire bank accounts to be completely wiped out, gone, wealth just gone, vanishing overnight due to cyber attacks. And these are globalists that are warning of the same globalists that warned us of this, they say an imminent pandemic, global pandemic. At some point in the just a few years, we will be facing it. It's just a matter of time. Or is it the same people that actually happen to work with making vaccines and actually happen to work with labs in China, in Wuhan, no less, and who work with, the COVID, not 19. Anyway, so these are the people that are now we see these multi-billionaire globalists betting on cryptocurrency. It's because they know something. This is very interesting to note, to key in on. This Fitzpatrick said, we think the whole infrastructure around crypto is really interesting, and we have been making some investments into that infrastructure. We think that it is an inflection point. It is at an inflection point. It is at an inflection point because it will be one of the very few infrastructures, frameworks, that will still be standing after a massive global cyber pandemic that they are warning us is imminent. So, I think that would be something significant to invest in. Well, here's the other stories here. Rutgers University will require COVID vaccine to attend in-person classes starting in August. Gosh, and they're still saying though that these do not give you immunity. We'll still need social distancing. We'll still, but not 6 feet. Now it's only 3 feet. right at the same time that this facial recognition software's achieved advancements so that 3 feet apart is sufficient for good facial recognition. Right at the same time when they made the announcement this last week, that announcement was made that 6 feet is no longer necessary for social distancing for COVID. 3 feet is sufficient. Right at the same week that they announced that 3 feet is sufficient for facial recognition. It supports other claims that we've heard before that really this six feet social distancing has always been about facial recognition. So it's worth noting that those distances are matching up with what the facial recognition experts are saying really is optimum conditions for being able to recognize, you know, everybody's faces in a crowd. Huh. Readout News reporting former Boise State adjunct professor. They're saying, according to this report at Readout News, Terry Wilson II, a former Boise State University adjunct professor, was arrested Tuesday for allegedly defacing a Abraham Lincoln statue in Boise, in Idaho. The statue, known as Seated Lincoln, was tarnished in February by a mob with red paint, signs, feces, and a Black Lives Matter flag wrapped around its neck. Signs near the defaced statue read, "Defund the police," and "The prison industrial complex is modern day slavery." Well, it's funny because now this former Boise State professor is going to find himself in that very same prison industrial complex that he's saying to shut it down. So, good. Bust them. Imprison them. They're communists. Oh, see the picture of them. It's just like the Antifa agitator that was at the Capitol in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. There he is in the, you know, running his mouth in the camera, acting like a Trump supporter. Turns out he's a positively identified Antifa leader, an agitator in Antifa. Well, here's this professor with ties to Black Lives Matter, part of a mob that's defacing Abraham Lincoln, smearing feces on this statue in Idaho. Well, good that he was positively identified, and they are bringing charges against him. So, and also when he was arrested, the police department says that Wilson, this former so-called professor, was found to be in possession of a firearm, marijuana, and drug paraphernalia. Big, fat surprise, right? The mob that vandalized the Lincoln Monument was organized by a coalition of Marxist groups, including Black Lives Matter, Boise, Peaceful Roots of Change, which is not peaceful, and Antifa Boise. He's previously been referred to as the spokesperson for Black Lives Matter Boise. So now he's going to be the spokesman from behind bars. Let's hope, right? All right, let's go ahead and take a break, come back. We've got some stuff to talk about with the purge that is continuing on track and on time under this regime. So they're targeting the military and Department of Homeland Security. They don't want patriots in the ranks. Like we've been warning about, this is coming true. So the conspiracy is no longer a theory, it's fact. And these are the headlines. So stay right there. Segment two coming up right after this.
"10 minutes from now, a lot of you are going to have a new understanding of communism. Now, let's see if that isn't so. We start with lions. People wonder, how can a communist look you in the eye and tell one barefaced lie after another with a straight face, the way Gromyko did with President Kennedy on Cuba? Well, the explanation is simple. Lying doesn't mean the same thing to a real communist that it means to you and me. We were taught by our communist leaders and ordered to believe that truth is anything that will promote communism. Therefore, nothing is a lie if it helps the party. So the communists use the lie as a weapon, a shield, and a tool. When you keep that in mind, at last you begin to understand them. When a smiling Khrushchev says the Russians in Cuba are technicians and farm helpers, well, you can suspect there are soldiers, too. And when he says only defensive weapons were sent, well, you can suspect there are also intercontinental missiles and bombers. And when he says now they removed them all, well, what do you think? Since it is their sworn duty to tell us whatever will best serve their cause, we should always suspect they are lying. Lying is one of their best tools for playing dirty. Dirty, mean, despicable, ruthless.
Minutemen Coffee Company, born out of the idea of freedom, liberty, and the patriot movement sweeping across this great nation that we call home. Single origin, whole bean coffee, roasted and blended to perfection in small batches when you order. Minutemen Coffee is delivered to your door for the freshest, most robust whole bean coffee you have ever tasted. Coffee is the second most important item for your preps next to water, so why not have the best coffee in your preps? Check us out on the web at www.minutemencoffee.com, minutemencoffee.com.
All right, welcome back to segment two of The Voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt, the John Jacob Schmidt Show. Okay, segment two, brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. It is a patriot-owned business helping folks just like you get strategically relocated. Now, strategically, that means you plan, you strategize, you weigh the costs, the pros, the cons, you do your research in advance. This is part of an overall strategy, right? You want to purchase some property, eventually make your transition so that you can move your job, your business, relocate, work from home, or retire, or whatever it is, so that you can, as part of your overall plan, you'll be able to get out of a less favorable area that's maybe hostile toward you, your children, your values, or your business, your prosperity. And you're tired of being plundered of your liberty. You're tired of being plundered of your wealth, your freedoms. So you want to strategically relocate. We want to encourage people to do that as opposed to coming as a refugee, wide-eyed and panicked because, oh, I waited too long. Now I need to get out of there. And now I don't know what, so I'm just going to pack up everything. I'm going to just show up. And you're going to create a patriot refugee crisis for us. We're asking that you strategically relocate. We know the American Redoubt is just one of the many conservative pockets across the country. It was parts of Texas, most of Texas, in the Appalachian Mountains, the Smoky Mountains, and the upper part of even northern New York, believe it or not, in the Adirondacks. Very conservative. It looks like North Idaho or Eastern Washington or Montana in many of those places. And the people think like that as well. So there are conservative pockets all over the place. So if you have, wherever you have your sights set, do the people, be courteous to the people by planning and strategizing ahead and get pre-positioned there, start getting invested in the community, start contributing, pre-position some logistical supplies and things so you're not just a refugee, so that you're not just a burden or a drain on somebody else, that you can actually show up and contribute in a major catastrophic emergency type of forced relocation situation. So anyway, a little rant there. It's something that's been on my heart and on my mind. Lady Liberty and I were talking about some of the stuff that's going on the air. We were talking about what's happening in the world, the geopolitical situation that's unfolding, and people need to be thinking about mobility, but also be thinking about it strategically, not just a panic frenzy of just showing up on somebody's doorstep or just showing up not without even having a doorstep to show up to. So now we'll be covering more of that. But SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com is the website for those of you who are strategically relocating and planning that, and you're ready to start looking for property. Okay, so in my notes here, I've got Biden administration, which it is not an administration. This is on, well, there's the Daily Caller. They've got this is a World Net Daily. It's several places. But the regime, the current regime, fires Department of Homeland Security Advisory Council in a continued purge of Trump appointees. Now, remember, last week I covered a show, I mean, in the show in segment two, I covered several stories about folks in the military reporting that they are now getting this extremism briefing, how to identify and report extremism among the ranks. And of course, they're, you know, they're recreating what extremism is. The stereotypes are, you know, just, well, predictable. So just this week now, you see this article that President, the puppet, Joe Biden, his regime, continued its purge of appointees from the previous administration Friday, firing all 32 members of the Department of Homeland Security's DHS Advisory Council. This new DHS Secretary, Alejandro Mayorkas, sent a letter to the council's members announcing their firing. And he says that they're going to... the move follows Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's similar purge of political appointees at the Pentagon in early February. This is very Stalin-esque. In the service of an orderly transition to a new model for the HSAC, I have ended the term of current members. And he said, I will reconstitute the council, advisory council, in the next few weeks once the new model has been developed. And don't think it's not already been developed. So these are patriots who truly were in Homeland Security, really truly were trying to set a direction for securing the United States in terms of stopping the inflow of unvetted refugees from these war-torn areas and just dumping them on our streets without even knowing who they were, knowing full well that there were known terrorists among them. To stop the bleeding at the border, not just from illegal immigrants, but also as a gateway for terrorists to cross our borders. They wanted to secure our borders. Well, all that's going away now. Our borders are blown wide open. They've created a humanitarian crisis, a created humanitarian crisis. This is very deliberate. It's very intentional what they are doing. The goal is to destroy the United States of America. It is to make the United States of America unlike anything it has been before, which is America. So they are continuing. They are continuing the mission to fundamentally transform what we have always known as the United States of America. And they're successful. They're doing this. They're successful. They are successfully carrying this out. So now we see feds are going to have contractors compile lists of dissidents from WorldNet Daily. And that was a USSA News. WorldNet Daily says the DHS is deploying big tech to spy on Americans through social media. In an effort to target domestic extremists, the Department of Homeland Security is deploying big tech to spy on Americans through social media and report on whether they might be a threat. If that's not subjective, right? So the FBI and other agencies have seen the posts, the report said, but determined they weren't actionable. They've seen posts about, you know, the Capitol. Because there's a lot of stuff where people said, boy, I hope they just hang them, you know, that kind of thing. And they're just, you know, ranting and raving on, say, Facebook or whatever. The FBI sees that. They see somebody is ranting. They're not actually planning to hang somebody. it's really not actionable. They've got enough stuff to go after, and they've got enough stuff without adding more to it. But they're going to change that. Now you're looking for people that, even with the right, with that mindset, if you're even just supportive, if you think that there was a election fraud and that this was a coup, you're a dissident. DHS plans to expand its relationships with companies that scour public data for intelligence, one of the senior officials said, as well as to better harness the vast trove of data it already collects about Americans, including travel and commercial data through customs, border protection, immigration and customs, ICE, so on and so forth. So they'll continue to be building this database, essentially spying on Americans. This is the kind of stuff the Stasi would have just dreamed of. Looking for dissidents. You know what a dissident, I looked it up just so I made sure. I mean, I understand what it means, but what does the dictionary say? Merriam-Webster says dissident, disagreeing, especially with an established religious or political system, organization, or belief. That's a dissident. Department of Homeland Security is looking for dissidents. Cambridge Dictionary defines a dissident as publicly disagreeing with and criticizing your government or political party. That is the cornerstone of America. Now, if they want to look toward insurrectionists, well, look no further than Black Lives Matter or Antifa. But it is a fundamental American principle, or it is American to speak out when you disagree with things in your government, your political system. Matter of fact, there's some things, if they are destructive toward liberty, then it is our duty to disagree with and to speak out about on those things. But the purge continues on schedule, on time, on course. American Military News this week has just announced the U.S. Special Forces U.S. Special Forces is announcing its first ever diversity and inclusion officer. This is targeting specifically the U.S. Special Forces. There's a reason for this. Your Special Forces are the ones that are the biggest threat to a communist coup. And just a couple of weeks ago, they announced, well, several things, basically a witch hunt among the special operations community, telling them, well, here's the standards. You will not have, 3% symbols, or I don't know how far they're going to go. Don't tread on me, Molon Labe. But any of this extremist type of symbology, as they call it. So now, the U.S. Special Forces has its diversity and inclusion officer. In an Instagram post, SOCOM, the Special Operations Command, said on March 1st, 2021, USACOM welcomed its first ever Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer. Mr. Richard Torres Estrada has nearly two decades worth of experience working diversity and inclusion programs and activities in federal agencies. SOCOM didn't specify specific initiatives Torres Estrada would be involved in. However, diversity and inclusion officers typically focus on inclusion of LGBTQ and minority personnel. All right, so this right here is a witch hunt. I just wanted to caution my brothers in the special operations community. Immediately, the comments started pouring in on the social media in response to this. I believe one of the intended objectives here is to draw out dissidents. Remember, they are going to be scouring social media and other online giants. Basically, this is free. This is ELINT, electronic intelligence. All right, it's OSINT, open source intelligence, where people freely, openly, voluntarily express their views about things, right? Which is your right as an American citizen to do. They are very concerned about the Special Forces community. It is a major threat to a communist coup. That is where the really, I mean, there's a high, extremely high percentage of patriots are among your special operations community. Not just the Army, but all of our branches where you have your special operations or your war fighters. That's where you have the highest number of patriots that are going to be loyal to the rule of law, to the Constitution, and take their oaths seriously and recognize and be able to take action against an illegal coup. So I just want to say, smell an ambush. When you smell an ambush, I smell an ambush. Don't be drawn into the kill zone on this with your social media comments and things like that. Right at the time where they're just announcing, openly announcing, they're using technology and Department of Homeland Security is purging. They're looking for dissidents. And right at the same time that this is coming out with SOCOM. So don't be drawn into it. So it's interesting that I did a search. I went to DuckDuckGo and I typed in the search term, military purge. Enter. And what comes up? These are the top three that came up for me in my search. When I just typed it, I was like, well, let's find out what's out there under the heading, under the search term, military purge. This is what came up. 1941 Red Army Purge, Wikipedia. Between October 1940 and February 1942, in spite of the ongoing German attack on the Soviet Union, in June 1941, the Red Army in particular, the Soviet Air Force, as well as Soviet military-related industries, were subjected to purges by Stalin. That's the number one. The very next one is Biden administration orders stand down to purge military. The New York Post reports that the Great Purge of 2021 has moved from social media to our nation's military. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has ordered a stand down of the entire U.S. military, which we reported here on Radio Free Redoubt. We reported on this over the next 60 days in order for commanders to address quote unquote extremism in its ranks. The next story is DOD uses witch hunt for extremists to set the stage for a purge of conservatives from the military. Red state DOD uses witch hunt for extremists to set the stage for a purge of conservatives in the military. Okay, so there's your top three searches. So congratulations, Biden. You came right in the top search results, right there with Stalin. When looking up the term Army Military Purge, wow, that's there's a legacy for you. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. Segment three coming up right after this. I got some more stuff to talk about. Death by government. And once again, we're not anti-government. God established government, but also he established government with duties and responsibilities and even warnings for government to act unlawfully. But we'll talk about that with some of the statistics and research that I've covered in the past from Death by Government, an actual book. It was a research project. So stay right there. Segment three coming up right after this.
Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
All right, this is segment three coming back right at you from Radio Free Redoubt here broadcasting from the Free Zones. And segment three is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design, designs to help you get the most out of your property for food production, alternative energy, power, water rights, defensibility, just really get the most out of your property. So check them out at strategiclandscapedesign.com. Now, several times over the years, I have covered a research by, a professor at the University of Hawaii, but it seems like that's where it always is located, or the Hawaii University. It's at hawaii.edu, Power Kills. But it's a book, and I don't have it in front of me right now, but it's titled Death by Government, and it is a study on the atrocities, the numbers of atrocities that have been carried out, and how people have been killed. There's one of the number one killer of people is not car accidents or anything; it's death by government, and so. While we often get accused of being anti-government, we're anti-lawless government. Government that acts unlawfully. They plunder the wealth of the nation, of their people, and their freedom, their liberties, and they use force to tyrannize and oppress their people. So. Just a small segment here before I get into this. These chapters are ordered from the greatest of these killers to the lesser ones, as one can see from the table of contents. Part 2 presents the four Deca mega murderers, beginning with a chapter on the Soviet Union's near 61 million murdered. A lot of people, it's like, how many the people that Hitler killed? Well, it's like, 10, 11 million people? That's a lot. That's nothing to sneeze at. But he's not the only one. And there are also 61 million in the Soviet Union under Stalin. Incredible. Communism has killed almost 300 million people. And these are rough estimates, too. It's kind of hard to, because there's a lot of stuff that's not documented or not documented well, where people were killed. It's really, really difficult to pin down exact numbers. So usually with these people reports, they're conservative numbers. I mean, the numbers are actually much higher. So, including chapters on Communist China and Nazi Germany, and ending with a chapter on the now virtually unremembered killing of the Chinese nationalist regime. So this is what he has to say at this, and these are all of his work. R.J. Rummel's work is over at hawaii.edu. So even if you don't have his book, you can get a lot of the core information over at the web pages that he has maintained, or somebody has maintained this stuff, but it looks like it's first person, like it's him maintaining it, because this is what he writes at Power Kills. It's the Power Kills page where he leaves a note, and he notes this at the bottom of that page. He writes, after 8 years and almost daily reading and recording of men, women, and children by the tens of millions being tortured or beaten to death, hung, shot, and buried alive, burned or starved to death, stabbed or chopped into pieces, and murdered in all the other ways creative and imaginative human beings can devise, I have never been so happy to conclude a project. I have not found it easy to read, time and time again, about the horrors innocent people have been forced to suffer. What has kept me at this was the belief, as preliminary research seemed to suggest, that there was a positive solution to all this killing and a clear course of political action and policy to end it. And the results verify this. The problem is power. The solution is democracy. The course of action is to foster freedom. So he identified the problem, he identified the solution, and he gives a course of action to remedy this, foster freedom. The solution to the problem, which is power, the solution is democracy. Now, he's not talking about a democratic form of government. He's talking about putting power in the hands of the people to hold their governments accountable. There is a lack of accountability. And I think that is the solution. That is accountability of leaders. Now, the real solution is the fear of God. That's the true solution for a leader who will follow the rule of law and lead his people fairly and justly. Because all throughout the scriptures, God's very clear. He warns judges, do not judge unfairly, because you, when you judge as for the Lord, not for yourselves. You're judging for on the Lord's behalf. So if you deal justice unjustly, warning to you, the hammer's going to come. And it's going to fall on you. He held leaders, kings, accountable for lawlessness. And those who feared him prospered. They were safe and secure and prosperous, and the people were happy. When they were oppressive, well, God held them accountable. But the people went through periods of oppression living under that type of a king. So anyway, the real solution is fear of the Lord or fear of consequences, right? And if you are the ultimate supreme power and you don't fear God and you don't know God, then you won't fear God and you'll act oppressively because there's nobody to hold you accountable. So from this guy, from a secular perspective, the solution is democracy. And what that means is the power belongs to the people to hold government accountable when they act unlawfully or when they act like tyrants or oppressive. But really what this is the solution is being fearful of consequences. As Christians, that's the fear of the Lord, because a government can only face consequences from a higher power, right? Now, they could actually be overran by their people, like the two differences between the revolutions in the United States versus the revolution in France, which took place almost like back to back, right? The difference is you had Christians who feared the Lord, who threw off tyranny and wanted to establish the rule of law from a Christian perspective. Well, the French Revolution, there was just sheer rebellion. And it was just a purge of just killing everybody that you, when the time came that you had a beef with, and it was a division that had been fostered, us versus them, kind of like what the communists do now. It was class warfare. Oh, you elitists! Now the elitists were oppressive, right? But they didn't have. It wasn't a fear of the Lord. It was a mob that overthrew them. That's a whole different rabbit trail to get into. But what I'm saying is the solution is what he writes, democracy. I would say would be the fear of consequences for acting tyrannous. So democide is what he calls it. And this is a death by government, right? Among all the democide estimates appearing on the website and in the table on the lower right, which I have, he's revised a lot of these. So he says, just to give perspective on this incredible murder by government, if all these bodies were laid head to toe. So here it's basically, let me give you some numbers here. The new world total, the old total from 1900 to 1999 was 174 million. The new world total would be 174 million plus 38 million for China, 50 million for the new, that he would add for colonies, bringing a total to 262 million people. Now, I would disagree with him on, you know, adding colonies as death by government, because that's really an invading force. That's not a government. That's not a government that's been established, you know, to govern the affairs of the people. That's a colonizing is conquest, you know, from Genghis Khan to Alexander the Great to you name it, any army or government, any system that conquered other peoples, the Romans and so on. Those aren't, that's not death by government. That's the natural, secondary effects of conquest, right? And it really depends on the personality of the person leading that conquest, but they're usually going to be ruthless. Anyway, to give, a perspective on this incredible murder by government, if all these bodies were laid head to toe with the average height being 5 feet, then they would circle the earth 10 times. That's how many people have been killed by government. Also, this democide murdered 6 times more people than died in combat in all the foreign and internal wars of the century, talking about the 20th century. Finally, given popular estimates of the dead in major nuclear war, this total democide is as though such a war did occur, but with its dead spread over a century. Something to ponder. Of course, not to take lightly either, but there's all of the statistics here, from the Holocaust to communism, to the Chinese, to the Soviets, tons of studies. It must have taken a toll on this. He said that it took a toll. He could not wait. He was never more happy for a project to be over with. The things, the encounters he had to study and research, had no doubt had an effect on him. But the USSR had the highest number. We're looking at 61 total from 1917 to 1987, 62 million. Chinese, from 1949 to 1987, 35 million. Germany, from 1933 to 1945, 21 million. China, 1928 to 1949, 10 million. And it goes down. The lesser mega murderers. And remember, this is the 20th century. Japan, 5.9 million. Under the Mao Soviets, China, 3,466,000. Cambodia, 2 million. Turkey, 1.8 million. Vietnam, 1.6 million. Poland, 1.5 million. Pakistan, 1.5 million. And that was just between 1958 and 1987. Poland, just from 1945 to 1948, killed 1.5 million people in 3 years. Yugoslavia, 1.072 million. And then it keeps going down. These are millions and millions of people who have been killed by government, and many of these by their own government. They also break this down, domestic versus, you know, the totals. So we're not wrong to say you will not disarm us. When we have a regime that is, all of the people in this regime have direct or indirect ties to heavily Marxist-influenced ideologies. And we have history to look back on and see that communism alone, just in the last century, killed 270 million people. there's no way we are going to allow ourselves to be disarmed. And especially when they're hostile toward the principles that this whole country was built upon. And right now, they are doing exactly what these previous tyrannous, oppressive regimes have done in the past, and that is build lists of dissidents, lists of extremists, lists of terrorists. That's how our country was founded. The King George did the very same thing. All of these governments that have killed millions of their citizens started by making lists of people that they thought were dissidents. And that's exactly where we are today. At the time when they want us to disarm ourselves, at a time when Russia and China and Iran and North Korea are holding joint meetings discussing what must be done about America, knowing full well, prophecy, that they're going to go to war against Israel, who knows what's going to happen to us. And that's the outside threat. Those are foreign entities that are planning and scheming and building up their military faster than any other buildup in history. That this is not the time. This is not the time to disarm us. This is the time when we need to be doubling down on our ability to strengthen our defenses. We are not the attackers. We are the defenders. We are defending what God has given us. We are defending our nation. And what this regime has done is unlawful. All of the governors who assisted with this election by making unlawful changes to their voting laws that according to their constitution they cannot do, and they did anyway. And courts are saying that there's no evidence of voter fraud. They won't hear the evidence of voter fraud. They just don't want to hear it. We won't listen to it when the evidence is abundant. We have an unlawful regime, and they're telling us to disarm ourselves. And they're building a list of dissidents, and they're calling us extremists. And so anyway, there's just hold the line, just stand firm and be strong, and don't be swayed by people that are calling you extremists or dissidents. Because the history is all right here. I mean, I can't even go into all of it in a single show. There's no way. But so anyway, let's go ahead and wrap segment three up, and then we'll come back with segment four and Lady Liberty to talk a little bit more about some of this stuff, and then we'll get you guys all kicked out the door and on to an awesome week. And segment four coming up and right after this. Stay there.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's Great Redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
Yes, The communists have plans for you. As soon as they're in power, they will arrest many of you, seize your property. If you're important enough, they will shoot you, along with all community leaders. The rest of you will be regimented, and some of you forced into slave labor. This is the planned, plotted, tested program they are determined to execute in this country, as they already have in many others. Don't think for a minute their program is on a take-it-or-leave-it basis. When you see where the Reds have grabbed a new slice of territory here or a whole nation there, well, don't tranquilize yourself with the thought that this will satisfy them. Every move they make, every piece of ground they gobble up, every labor union, every government agency, every local organization they infiltrate in this country is just one more step towards their main goal, which is America and you.
All right, welcome back to the fourth and final segment here. This is, I've got segment four with me in the studio, codename segment four. Segment four is sponsored by EMP Shield, giving you a protection of your electronics, your home, your RV, your generator, your individual electronic equipment such as ham radios. Well, EMP Shield is a veteran-owned business with all of their DoD testing standards posted there on the website. Check them out at empshield.com. Oh, hey, and before I forget, when you guys place your orders with Minuteman Coffee, by the way, thank you for supporting them. Well, thank you for supporting all of our sponsors. We're just really grateful. But, man, they're really doing some great things over there at Minuteman Coffee. But you can save 15% by using the coupon code RFR. And a $50 purchase gives you free shipping, and that's a huge help there. So it all adds up. Lady Liberty, good evening. Welcome to segment four here of the Sunday Night Podcast.
Great. Thank you for having me again. And I still think it's cool that some of the people have decided that's my nickname.
I know. That's really awesome. Cool. You get two nicknames. Lady Liberty is code name segment four.
That's right. I know. That's great. I know. It's been funny. And I had that new one here recently with Agent 3344.
Yes. Agent 3344 stops in occasionally, do a little handoff.
Yeah, because we've been having this. We've been being chased by number 333 and 444 for like months now, months and months. And so it's just
been
funny.
We see him everywhere lurking.
Well, it's bizarre. in strange places, like, you know, like when you wake up in the morning. It's, you know, repeatedly over and over.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So, yeah, anyway, but funny stuff.
That's pretty cool. Well, we've been dealing with some really serious stuff over the last week.
Yep.
And where we left off Friday with this news about the uptick in the meetings between China, Russia, North Korea, Iran, as Iran is building up their missile defenses, building literally missile cities.
Right. Yep.
Towns, villages that are specifically designed to host missile batteries and storage, missile storage.
Well, and I can see why. Oh, my gosh. They've got just on one end of Israel, they have 300,000 pointed at Israel. And then on the other end, they've got another 300,000 pointed at Israel also.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, from different proxies, like we found out, in Yemen, they have them aimed at Israel from over there also. So
yeah, and from Yemen, they're also targeting the oil fields in Saudi Arabia.
Yep, that's
like,
right.
And you made a good point. They hit one or two of those and create some environmental disaster with the oil. You watch oil prices. You think it's gone up sharply just since the communist regime took over in America.
And that's a good point, too. And why wouldn't they? Because that would mean that they're just kind of eliminating their competition. You know, they're going to be selling all of their oil. Well, they already are illegally selling all their oil to China for a cheap price because they've struck up that 25-year partnership agreement with China.
Probably Russia as well.
Yep. Wouldn't be surprised.
So, yeah, there's So that's pretty spooky because they're carving up America right now.
They are.
They're figuring out who's going to get what. And I think that when The Almond Tree Blossoms, that book by David Akeman, I think that the guy was ahead of his time. He's a specialist in Russian studies. He was a Newsweek, one of these major publication journalists for years. He's a Christian author. Now he's an independent author, specializes in Russia studies, and he wrote the book When the Almond Tree Blossoms. And it paints a picture about how Russia and the United States, Russia and China hit the United States. United States is divided, breaks down into a civil war between there's two different groups, the constitutionalists and the people's movement, which essentially is what you have. You got the Trump conservative Republican constitutionalist group, and then you've got the communists, the Marxist communists in America.
Right.
We basically have the constitutionalists and the people's movement from his book in real life today.
That sounds like a CIA op to me, to tell you the truth. You know what I mean? It's like that we've been hearing that kind of thing, and it probably originated with that book, actually. But we've been hearing that kind of speculation for over a decade that you know, we could expect at some point to see both China and Russia showing up on our soil. And I remember the first time I heard that, I was like, well, that's not going to happen.
Right. Yeah. I know that's what everybody says. Oh, China. I remember in the 2000s, when you talk about China reemerging as a threat and building up their military, I mean, you know, the gun shows, people are like, oh, that's not, you know, you got the intelligence analyst experts that come out of the woodwork. No, that'll never happen. They don't have the logistics. They don't, dude, they're working on it right now. They're
right,
catching
exactly.
up. Nah, they're in the Stone Ages. Yep. Those guys are, they're third world. They're in their mud huts. And I'm like, you don't.
Their military
understand.
Isn't.
There's a thing called Know Your Enemy.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Yep.
And they're projecting. They're telling you what they're going to do. And now they're doing it. And nobody still believes it.
And see, the interesting part there is that we heard all of that coming from different people that were part of the deep state. And so we went, well, you know, maybe that's what they would think. I'm talking, you know,
in the
mind frame, like from 10 years ago, from,
right.
you know, from now, from previously. And so I remember just thinking, they're not going to get that far in America. And, you know, so, and they likely would not have without this, the whole COVID thing, you know what I mean? But
that was an accelerant.
Yeah, yeah, without a doubt.
For the globalists, not just China, but the globalists.
Right, yep. That was a strategic move that I would never have seen coming ever, you know.
But
so.
Now, even though we couldn't see COVID coming per se,
right.
we all knew there's something coming and it's going to shock the world. It's going to stun the world. We're going to be stunned at how quickly the world caves to it, whatever it is.
Right.
We didn't know what it was, but we knew something has to accelerate the world toward this end game.
Right.
The Antichrist and the one world government and one world currency. And we all have the sense that we're getting close, but things are still good.
Right.
You know.
Well, you know, and.
But not now.
And
until. Sorry, it's until COVID-19.
Right. And it's interesting, you know, how Jesus says, well, you know, the signs of the seasons, you know, when a certain temperature and, you know, when the leaves start changing and stuff, you know what's coming, right?
Right.
Well, and so the Bible does say when you start to see these signs, you're going to know what's coming. And sure enough, all of these things kind of started pointing in the same direction. And even just today, the article came up about how the Biden regime is already starting to plan for the passport, the vaccine passport, to be linked to currency and payment, right? If you're gonna, if you want to buy and sell, you're going to have this
it'll be a
vaccine
pass.
It's a vaccine passport is what that article was saying.
Right.
And so the fact that
it's
we already know
gonna, that's why they're going to cryptocurrency.
Yep.
That's where they're building the framework. That's why George Soros says, hey, how can basically, okay, so George Soros is saying, I love the framework for this cryptocurrency. I'm right. investing in that. Why? Because all the other globalists are investing in it, from Bill Gates to all the others, because it's going to be tied into a passport, your health information, your even your currency. Everything's right. going to be tied into this. This is going to be embedded under your skin. They already said it. They're, I mean, that's not what this vaccine is. This vaccine is going to be a failure. And the one that they're designing that does alter your DNA and all that. I mean, they
right,
said it does.
A quantum dot. Because Bill Gates was helping develop that.
So, and yeah. he's all giddy. He's like, we can actually get in there and we can insert stuff into your DNA that will make you, that will save lives. I'm like, so when we say, hey, they're talking about altering our DNA, they call us conspiracy theorists. We're like, no, the head brain said.
He just said
he's
it.
He's so excited.
Clearly.
Yeah. So
he wasn't beating around the bush either.
No.
I mean, he just flat out said it.
Okay. So, now, I was going to take a segment and talk about the cyber attack and what my thoughts are for the coming scenario, what we could look at. Because we've been really looking at the EMP threat. China and Russia both have EMP capabilities. So this is what a listener asked. Let me just, because let's address, you want to address this?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point.
Yep. Okay, so here's a listener question. Explain to me why you think that a cryptocurrency that exists or depends on computers would survive a global cyber attack. That's a valid question.
That's an excellent question.
And I've already thought of it, and here's the answer. I believe, despite the EMP threat that it is real as it is, I believe that a cyber – if they set off an EMP, they will destroy infrastructure that will have to be rebuilt. They will destroy everything. You can't pick and choose what's victimized by an EMP, right?
Right.
You're going to wipe out SCADA systems that are the control systems for
power grids and
power grids. Yep. The control systems for melting that would you would have a nuclear power plants melting down because their cooling systems would fail.
Yep.
All of the stuff. So then you want to come in and they want to colonize this land. They
yes.
want to take it.
Yep.
They've said it. They're very clear about this. So do you want to come in and in something the size of 13 or 15 Afghanistans and replace the entire infrastructure?
Right.
Because nothing's working now. Yeah. Your telecommunications, your everything. And you've got melted down power plants and just all kinds of problems, exploded chemical plants, all kinds of safety and control measures that are not in place. This is why I believe a cyber attack is like the perfect, absolutely perfect weapon, because it is precise. You can attack with precision.
Right.
If you have a cyber attack, you're controlling what systems are attacked, what systems are protected. You could leave the nuclear power plants, SCADA systems alone.
Yep.
But you could cause other systems maybe that have, they control pressure valve. They prevent things from overpressurizing, for example, and let them blow. Boom, you'll replace those things, right?
Right.
So you, with a cyber attack, you can literally go in and switch things off, switch things on. You can deny access to things from your control, your IT people. You could have the same effect, but of what's the intended effect? It is to remove your opponent's ability to use this infrastructure and technology.
Yes.
You want to deny them. So an EMP would deny an enemy the use of that infrastructure in responding to you. You would take out their GPS, their navigation, their telecommunications, their medical system, their supply chains. Everything comes to a screeching halt with an EMP.
Right.
But now you come in and you have none of it either. It's already here and it's beautiful. A cyber attack would allow you to do that. It would preserve the currency. Look, these are globalists. They want to implement. This is, remember the word reset. This is a reset. They want to implement a new currency. They want to have control of it. They want everyone else on Earth to be using this currency, because that's what's going to give them power. They want you to have the technology that contains your medical supply, your medical records, your currency, your location information, including your DNA that they can alter and manipulate to have the intended effects over the people they are oppressing. So a cyber attack is the perfect weapon because it is like surgical precision attack, unlike an EMP. EMP would be like just clobbering somebody over the head, you know what I'm saying?
Right, exactly. And that was what General Hayoshin was talking about when he had said, well, we're going to offer them the good deal first, where we're going to literally just ask them to leave.
Yes.
And if they don't leave, then they'll have to go about killing us all. But if, you know, if we were smart, according to the Chinese, they would just ask us to leave, and then we would just politely pack our bags and go to some other country, every last one of us.
Yep.
And so...
Because he's trying to show how humanitarian
side. Yeah, so their humanitarian side, yes. Yes, because they are actually very, very brutal and very, very ruthless. And they have determined that they would be even much more so than the Nazis ever were. And they fault the Nazis for not being brutal enough, which is why they think that the Nazis are not ruling right now. And so they plan to outdo the Nazis by yards. in that measuring stick, you know, where they will absolutely be brutal. And, you know, I have to admit that the Bible does say that the end times will be the worst it has ever been on this planet.
Well, that's what the Bible says. Yeah. Revelation. Yeah.
And so they very well could be right. They could actually outdo the Nazis.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So we've got domestic and foreign enemies right now that are attacking. Well, the domestic, we're under attack. We're at war. They have not militarily activated yet, but they're like that one analyst,
Gordon Chang.
Gordon Chang.
He said, "This is the biggest military movement that they've ever seen.
It is the most rapid military buildup in history, what China is doing right now.
Right.
And you could tell their arrogance. Their demeanor has changed since the inauguration, since the coup.
Big time.
They are in a position of power, and they know it.
Yep.
They're acting like they already own the United States.
Yep.
So what we were talking about on Friday in the closing, like 15 seconds left in the show, you had mentioned mobility and get an RV or something like that to be able to bug out.
That's right. And the point being that we've been left vulnerable. We've been left vulnerable from the top with our president that has been placed in exile. We have a coup. So our top structure is missing. Essentially, our bottom structure, which is our borders, is now wide open. So we're left vulnerable on our borders. We're vulnerable on our top from our supposed
our judicial representatives, system, our court system,
our representatives, our elected officials, and every single enemy that has been trying to figure out how to get rid of the United States for the past 50 years. Is now mobile and allying together.
Right.
And so the fact that just last week we saw Russia, China, and North Korea all meet in a summit to talk about alliances, and they're forming those alliances. And we're also seeing
ripping
China.
On the US.
And they were angry at the US at that summit. And then we're also seeing the alliances with China and Iran. And they've this huge partner, this 25-year partnership that happened last summer that nobody heard about at all.
We can safely say that at some point they are going to pounce on us. This could be they could be 90 days. It could be in 2 years. They could be timing it so that it's within 4 months of the next election.
Right.
So we could have 2.5-3 years. We could have 90 days. We don't know, but we know that anybody with discernment can tell that's coming.
They're coming.
All right. They've told us. They've projected it. They've not just projected it. They've told us. They're also – it's a very credible And this is not like a guy in a wheelchair across the street saying, I'm going to kick your butt. You're like, okay, pal. Right?
Right.
There's credibility to their threat. They have the motive.
Yep.
They are creating the opportunity. And they have the ability.
Right.
So we have to take them seriously. And so what does that mean for us?
Exactly. So let's talk about that. What does that look like? We were talking about, well, the majority of your listeners are already part of the whole prepper network of people around the United States. So this is not anything new to those people. However, this circumstance is where we have been left exposed and vulnerable, top and bottom, and with nobody to defend us, nobody willing to stand up and uphold their oath of office.
And this is what we were saying on Friday. We are on our own.
Yes,
literally.
Exactly.
We are truly on our own.
That's right. And still, then we have all these people that are the elected officials acting like this is business as usual and pretending as though nothing is on the horizon that is a threat. Well, let's not listen to that nonsense for a single second. And they're on their way, basically. We don't know exactly when, but they do. They do know, and they have their plans. And like you were saying earlier, we've been talking about this for several days now, that they're basically making all the plans to just carve up the United States because they know this is a coup and we're left exposed. And so we're talking about, so where does that, what does that look like? Well, the majority of us already have a good portion of our food preparations, our water preparations,
stored fuel,
this kind of thing. And I threw out there that if you can possibly get yourself some way to be mobile, like I'm not a person that has a ton of money, and I never have. I've always just operated on more or less sheer will, sheer will and a budget. Right. And so for people like me, I know there's a lot of you out there. And so when I think of, well, I need something that would be like a camper trailer or an RV, maybe a Class C or something. Mm-hmm. And so what I've always thought in the past was if I could get anything like that, I would put all of my food storage and water storage in that thing ready to go within like 2 minutes. Like if I seriously had to grab the keys and jump in and go, I'd be ready and I'd be able to go.
Right.
And so have it, you know, keep it fueled up if it's like a Class C or whatever. But there's also other things that you can use. Say that you don't have several thousand dollars at this point to just go buy something like that. You can also look into other things that can be adapted for that use, like cargo trailers. You can run across those fairly inexpensively. I just saw one on Craigslist for $1,200, a week and a half ago.
Right.
So those you can put all your food storage in those and something like a cot. You've got at least your shelter, your mobile shelter, your food and your water.
That's right.
And if somebody is coming, like if there is an army coming, you know what I'm saying, where you feel like you wouldn't have a chance to stand, you know what I mean, where you better just pack and run, right?
That's right.
That would be a good option. There's also other things like horse trailers, stock trailers, you know, those kind of cattle trailers, you know, that clean it out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Pack yourself, just have a way to be mobile quickly.
Yep.
I'm not saying that we, you know, American colors don't run. We don't run, but you may have to move from your location quickly in order to reestablish. But
you still have, sometimes you got to move to better cover.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep.
It's not running away.
Yep.
It's not cowering.
No, it's relocating quickly.
It's strategic relocation. Yes. It's a better position. You get a better vantage point, better firing, better lanes of fire, better. Yeah.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
And of course, you know, everybody's situation is going to be different. Sometimes your place might be where people need to come to.
Right.
You know, sometimes you might think that your place is a place of refuge that everyone's going to come to, that you have to find yourself
you have to
leaving.
Leave. Right.
Right. Like we've seen in wildfires.
Yep.
And, you know, so we can definitely, we're out of time now, but you know, we can definitely talk about more about this. Yeah. What would that look like practically? What did the people in Poland do, or France? Some of them, they just had to hunker down at home. They're trapped. There was no place to go.
Right.
And they have to learn to operate within the system that emerges around them. Now there's Nazi checkpoints.
Right.
You know, and so then they started to join the underground.
Right.
And they started learning how to, you know, kill Nazi soldiers to take their weapons so that they could start planning more sophisticated operations from there. And you know, so if you can get out, definitely get out of the cities if you're able to. Cities will be targeted and they'll be tightly controlled.
They'll be easy targets too, I might add. And so, yeah, when this situation happens, our best tactic is probably going to be guerrilla for a while. You know, until we can amass.
Yeah, and they will ban firearms. They will ban ham radio. They will ban travel without certain, you know, authorization. Everything you do is going to be illegal.
Yep.
And you're going to be called a terrorist. And everything that you, just about everything in your life that you have will be the death penalty for. And you have the right under international law to engage without any permission, without anybody, without orders, without any. You see a foreign soldier on your soil as an occupying force, you have the right,
the legal right
to defend your country. You don't have to be in uniform, with the, you know, certain patches visibly, you know, all that stuff. You're not part of a joint. You are a citizen, you know, defending your country. You have that right to engage the enemy.
Yep, that's right.
And of course, it's going to be the death penalty for them to be there. It's going to be the death penalty for you for resisting them. And that's called war.
Yep.
There's a word for that.
Yeah.
It's called
war. And so that's when you don't care if they make things illegal or not. You go, well, that's...
You start passing laws that it's illegal for them to be breathing in your country.
Exactly. There you go.
And the penalty is death.
Yes, yes. We have a jury system set up right here, lo and behold.
Yes, and you must enforce it. Upon encountering violations, you must encounter it.
We're very efficient with this system.
It's a very efficient system. But yeah, they're planning on being ruthless. They're planning on being as ruthless, more ruthless than the Nazis were. They believe the Nazis didn't prevail because they weren't as ruthless as they needed to be.
That's right.
But the Chinese are saying they're going to fix that.
They're going to outdo the Nazis.
That's right. Yep. Wow. So anyway, yep, we are definitely out of time now. We are right at the end. So
Lady
Liberty.
Yes.
Awesome
discussion.
Final parting shot.
We are the watchmen, and we are bringing the word because it's true, and we need to warn you. This is not a reason to fear. We are not given a spirit of fear, but of love, of sound mind.
What is that? Second Peter or?
It's Timothy. I think it's First Timothy, right? Or is it Second Timothy?
We'll post it on our Gab. Radio Free Redoubt Gab.
Regardless, we weren't given a spirit of fear. So don't take this as some way to be fearful or afraid. Prepare.
Yeah.
You have no reason to fear if you're prepared. So.
And if you're like, well, I can't do all that stuff. I'm not young anymore. Well, then you can support. There's support roles.
That's right. And you also have no reason to fear because we belong to the King, true King.
Yep, so. Exactly. Remember, you didn't cause this. We didn't cause this. You don't deserve this. We don't deserve this, but it doesn't matter. This is what we have to deal with.
What we're called to do, and we're called to defend. So there it is.
There you go. All right, you guys, be safe. God bless. Stay safe. Keep reloading and...
Well, that's right.
When you can find the components.
That's right. Right.
And all right. Well, God bless you guys. Be safe. And we will check with you all week, every morning for the morning commute. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. And this is the end of episode 21-10. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. Good night.